Good morning. Court radio is now in session.
Welcome to Court Radio.
Call 1-800-359-1479.
And the lines are alight.
When you've got legal questions.
Do I have any legal recourse?
What are my rights in this situation?
Is that valid?
And I'm just wondering, what is the statute of limitations?
We've got the answer.
You can whip your pictures out in court and say, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Right. This is Court Radio.
Let me go get the popcorn. This sounds like fun.
And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome. This is Court Radio, and I'm Dean Weitzman, your host for 1 hour of legal entertainment. I'm joined in the studio with my co-host. You know him. He's here again, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning. Yes, I'm here again.
There you are. Faithful Dave.
Can't keep me away.
Uh-huh. Give him a mic. He's going to wake up at 4 a.m.
Well, 5 a.m. Give me that extra hour, please.
Welcome, folks. Well, this is Court Radio, where we answer your legal questions one at a time. If you've got any questions, if you've been involved in an accident, if your family's been involved with some negligence at a hospital, David and I will dissect the problem and come up with the right answer for you, or give it our best shot going down in flames. Rarely does that happen.
Very rarely.
Very.
I don't know if it ever has.
I'm not sure, but I gave ourselves a little bit of leeway there. We also talk about some of the events that have unfolded in the legal fashion throughout the Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware areas, but also all over the country. This is where you get your answers, and all you have to do is give us a call, 215-263-1003, 215-263. 631-1003 gets into the studio, and we'll give you your due here on Court Radio. You can also find us during the week at courtradio.com or myphillylawyer.com. My Philly Lawyer is the genesis of Court Radio. The genesis, that's right.
Hey, Jude, speaking of that.
It spawned a Court Radio.
You just reminded me of music. Did you see the 12-12-12 concert?
I did. I was up the
great,
entire concert. Those old guys could really...
I was just going to say that. And you know what I heard for the first time today coming in on KYW News Radio? I heard them say...
Kyle was going to stab you, but don't ever do that again.
Well, come on. I mean, I'm not saying a positive thing.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't the radio station. So there's a controversy that it should have been maybe a younger set of music, you know, more. It should have been more diverse for everybody. And I thought, as you did, even though I'm a little biased because it's from my era, that they were amazing. All of them were really on their game, except for the Stones, which I never liked, and I thought they were horrible.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. But whatever.
Well, they only did two numbers, I think.
Yeah, they were just rushed off. But The Who, Townsend and Daughtry were great, I thought.
Right.
Yeah, Springsteen, you can't say enough about him. I mean, he was awesome.
Yeah, well, and plus he lived in the area where it was.
Yeah,
affected.
Bon Jovi with him, and it was great. I thought it was great.
But 215-263-1003, the concert was, a nice, I wonder how much money they raised. I mean, that's a real deal.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you know what, overshadowing 12-12-12 is the Sandy Hook, Connecticut massacre. And David,
horrible.
You and I have advocated strongly for a control on guns in America well before Sandy Hook, well before the last Colorado incident event. We have been big proponents of gun restrictions, and we believe that the Second Amendment is not a free for all, and that it doesn't give you unfettered right to collect, you know, submachine guns.
Well, the news said he had, initially it was handguns, but I just heard that it was an assault rifle.
AK-47.
Yeah, and what the heck is it? First of all, what's he doing with that? 20 years old. Here's the one comment I have about this whole thing. I wish people would band together to do something about it. And I think the two things that need to be done about it are gun control and mental health research. And instead of posting on Facebook their prayers and lighting candles, like everyone bands together. There's a 500 million messages on Facebook. Let's light a candle. Let's say a prayer. If all those people actually didn't do that and instead called their legislators or wrote to legislators about gun control and said, we're not going to vote for you unless you really push this, that would be something that would be effective.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think at a time like this, the parents of the children, the whole community need prayer.
Oh, no. That's I think, I'm talking about nationwide.
I think the next step is a march on Washington.
Yeah,
I think America needs to go down to Washington where those knucklehead, bonehead, NRA money-grubbing
yes,
folks are, and we need to show them
no
uncertain terms where we gather that we're offended by the failure to control guns in America. Every other country...
Crazy. Do you know that one of the statements made by one of the NRA people was, if the teachers had guns, they could have prevented this from happening. That's right. Put more guns in the hands of
everybody. Here's the anti-argument to that, David. In Manhattan this year, amongst the many thousands of handgun and gun deaths caused in America this year, one of them was a lunatic who shot somebody outside of the Empire State Building. The police, right. The trained police, right? You know, the folks who spend days and weeks and months and years learning how to operate under pressure,
right,
responded to that event and began a wild shootout that culminated in about 8 folks being injured by friendly fire.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
If the police can't get it right,
yeah,
how are teachers, kindergarten teachers, packing guns going to solve that problem? You know, the NRA is full of...
Yeah, there also was that statistic of every other country you look at, the deaths by guns... We are, you know...
Number one.
Oh, well, not only number one, it's like 500% more than every other, you know... Whoa, okay. 500% more than any other country. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing the percentage, obviously. Since I'm a lawyer, I don't know math, but... Yeah, we well exceed every other country by far.
All right, David, we got to bring some people on the line. People who have been...
All right.
We call them ECs, early callers. Folks, 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Johnny from West Philly. Good morning, Johnny, and welcome to Court Radio. What do you think about this this massacre in Connecticut? You think we should be controlling handguns in America?
Yeah, we definitely need to control the handguns. I mean, but how could we do that when everything is about money?
Yeah, well, I think we have, change is possible, and we've seen it here in America. Change is possible, right? So we can't look at it like it's an impossible task. I think we have to start taking little bites at it. And, I think that the idea that we just have to surrender to the fact that we're one of the most vicious nations in the world has to end, and we have to start finding ways to curtail that. All right, but that's not why you're calling. What are you calling for, Johnny? What's your question?
I have a question. Is it like the legal way of handling the situation with my job? I've gotten an email from my job phone saying that they made some type of error in my pay. It goes back to July of this year, and that I was not being taxed properly, and Philadelphia had a new tax update where they were taking more money and that I wasn't being taxed properly. So now they have to go to each pay and take $100 per pay out of my check, which is weekly. So that amounts to $400 a month without negotiating with me or anything, just taking my money every week.
Well, unfortunately, you're at somewhat a disadvantage because it is your employer, and they sort of control the purse strings. Now, with that being said, did you approach them and ask them, hey, look, I can't afford you. This was your mistake. It's not your mistake. You know, Johnny didn't tell them how much or how little to take out. But did you go to them and say, hey, can we work on this? Can we get this maybe at $50 a pay period and spread it? And what'd they say?
She says it's nothing they can do.
Yeah. Well,
I believe they just want their money.
I don't know. It sounds to me like it's not the employer who wants the money. It sounds to me like it's the Yeah, that it's the taxing that needs to be paid back to the city. But here's the deal. If you can't, the answer to your question is you don't really have negotiating room here. If they won't negotiate with you, what's your other option? You know, I mean, leave, stop being an employee, I guess, is one option.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not going to pay you back. How much you owe them all told?
$2,185.
Right, okay. So you could say, look, I'm not paying you the $2,185, and so I'm just going to quit. I'll find another job, and then I'll get over on you for the $2,100. Good luck collecting it from me. Have a good day. I mean, that's option. That's your option. Or you stay there and you pay back $100 a week. You did what I would have advised you to do, which is you negotiated with them or attempted to get them to take a lesser amount over a longer period. They said no. I didn't realize it was $2,100. I mean, at $100 a week, it's are you paid weekly or biweekly?
Weekly.
Okay, so it's going to still take you 5 months to pay them back. I mean, you know, I understand that it's a lot of money, but you got a lot of money, it sounds like, by accident. Anyway, you did the right thing, Johnny, I think, and I don't think there's any other way you can force them to take less. Thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday, sir.
You too.
All right. All right, one other. Let's go, Kyle. Let's take Calvin from Philly. He's got a DUI question. Good morning, Calvin, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm just fantastic. I hope you'll be able to give me some insight onto what's going on here.
Go for it, Cal.
Listen, I had a DUI in 1990, right?
Yep.
I didn't take the field sobriety test.
Let me just tell people, if you don't take a field sobriety test, folks, you're automatically deemed to be under the influence.
Well, they wanted to take blood, and I'm squeamish. So I surrendered my license, lost my license for a year, right, and never heard anything from them for 16 years. And then they sent me a letter saying I have a warrant for my arrest. So I went up there, and I talked to the judge, and he said, if I plead guilty, he'll throw it out. So I'm saying, well, I plead guilty. Gave me a $1,450 fine, a $1,000 fine, $450 for the class. Isn't there a statute of limitations on that?
Of course there's a statute of limitations, but Calvin, you pleaded guilty.
After 16 years.
But dude, if you want to raise the statute of limitations as a defense, then you got to raise it. But if you don't, you surrender the right to raise it.
Yeah, they're not going to raise it for you.
Well, see, I didn't know.
That's why you have lawyers.
Yeah.
But the lawyer was right there.
Yeah. Your lawyer? Your lawyer was right there?
No, it was a public defender.
Oh, a public defender.
Right.
Okay.
She was right there, and she said, just go ahead and the judge said, he said, 16 years, this is ridiculous. He said, if you plead guilty, I'll just throw it out. So I said, okay, I wanted to get it over with. I said, I'm guilty. He said, $1,450. I said, what do you mean, $1,450? He said, $1,000 fine, $450 for your class. Isn't there some way that I could rebring that up or something?
How long's it been, by the way?
It's been 4 years now.
Oh, man.
And they still got a warrant for me.
Yeah, of course, because you owe now probably
$2,500. Oh, because you never paid the
$1,450. He never paid the
$1,450. No, I never paid the
$1,450. That's what the bench warrants for.
Yeah.
And now they have a warrant for me. I'm going to turn myself in and just see what they do.
Well, what they're going to do is
they're going to put you in jail until you pay it.
No. They'll probably put you on a payment plan. And,
right.
And maybe the best thing you could do is go in before the holidays and you'll get the Christmas.
The best payment plan.
Condolences or something, but you know, you gave a perfect example of everything you're never supposed to do. You know, the first thing is, if there's any way at all for you to have gone in with private counsel, you should have done that probably at that point. And if not, you know, I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't say. I don't want to say that the attorney didn't represent you probably because I don't know. I have to see the record.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, folks, if you've got a 16-year-old crime, chances are the statute of limitations has run on it. And chances are you'll be able to have the matter thrown out. And you won't have to plead guilty under the pressure of having the big bad judge in the robes look down at you and say that. So don't make any hasty decisions, and don't plead guilty to 16-year-old crimes.
Well, Lord knows, I wish I'd have known that now.
Yeah, well, but you know what? You know, Calvin, you know it now. Why? Because you listen to...
The Court Radio.
There you go, brother. All right, have a great Sunday.
Let me ask you a question, though. Oh. Is there any way that I can go to, like, Attorney General or somebody and try to get this overturned?
Okay, Kyle can do this thing.
Especially if you'd come to me a week after you foolishly pled guilty, maybe there's something that could have been done.
Four years
after pleading guilty?
I don't think so.
Nope. You're done, folks. You're done. Sorry, Cal.
All right.
All right, peace.
And he got two questions in. Which,
yeah, well, kind of, sort of. It was a subpart.
We're going to issue a bench warrant for that.
Court Radio bench warrant. Folks, if you're listening to Court Radio and you have a question like Calvin did, you can reach us at 215-263-1003. So, David, let's...
I have one thing to tell you. I got it real quick. Ready? I got the statistics. Handguns killed last year. 48 people in Japan, 8 in Great Britain, 34 in Switzerland, 58 in Israel. Which, you know, Israel, you would think...
Well, they have a lot of guns there.
Yeah. 10,728 in the United States.
Wow.
21 in Sweden.
All right. We get the picture.
There you go.
10,000.
Yeah. Just handguns, by the way. That's just handguns.
Yeah.
That doesn't include, like, this incident in Sandy
Hook. And that's not injured. That's killed?
Killed.
Killed. Folks, if that, I don't understand it. I don't understand why we're not all marching on Washington and making it very clear that they can't take blood money anymore. Politicians who take money from the NRA are taking blood money. That's Dean Weitzman. You heard it here at Court Radio. I'm not going to back down off of that position. Politicians who take money from the NRA are taking blood money. Okay, Charlton Heston, he was a big NRA guy, you know? He's like a precursor to the skinheads. NRA, bad. Charlton Heston, bad. He was a good actor. You know what? Actors shouldn't get into politics. 215-263-1003. I don't know what else to say. If you've got an opinion on the NRA or their blood money, give us a call at 215-263-1003. Kyle's giving me the head shake saying, Dean, you're doing a good job. 215-263-1003. All right. Well, we're going to move on to our hot button topic.
Which is
stealing houses in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you would say what? But
What do you mean stealing houses in Philadelphia? Well, no, you can actually, like, you know, shoplifters steal gum in the store.
Right.
Shoplifters steal houses.
Yeah, actually, through the title of the property. Unbeknownst to the actual owner, the title suddenly gets transferred to somebody else. And we're going to try and shed some light on how that can happen, the importance of having title insurance.
Well, you know, title insurance may protect you, and we're going to find that out. The question is, how does this happen? How do people get their homes stolen in Philadelphia? And it doesn't happen in other places. There's something unique about Philadelphia. Why is that, David?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Well,
I hope we have an answer to that.
Well, the answer is that that.
Well, you don't know the answer? We have someone here who's going to give you the answer.
No, I know why Philadelphia unique to the, like, it doesn't happen in Montgomery or Delaware County as nearly as often as
why?
Here. People know people in smaller communities, and here in Philadelphia, nobody knows anybody. Like, remember, you used to know your neighbors. And now all of a sudden somebody shows up. It's like, oh, I don't know who they are, but they must be entitled to be, you know, coming in and changing the locks on the doors. This one guy came by his house. He went to go in to make a repair to his house, and he had noticed that there were, like, wood shavings at the base of the door. And he went to put his key in. The key didn't work. Somebody had drilled the lock out and put a new lock in. In the time from one time from him coming to it.
That's literally... Yeah, that's not even doing the title. That's just stealing the house. You know, that's just changing the lock and saying, this house is now mine, which, you know, can't really that happen. You can get the police and...
No, but before he changed the lock...
He changed the deed.
He changed the deed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
So it was his house at that point. Legally, it was his house, or so they thought.
Yeah,
it looked that way. So, how does it happen? It happens, it starts with one signature on a deed. You know, how many deeds have you prepared in your career, David?
I don't know. A lot. Too many to count, I guess. Or 20, something like that. Not really that many.
They're not hard to make, right?
The language, you know, there's special language in a deed, but, you know, once you get the language down, they're not that hard to create, no.
All you really need is usually the last deed.
The last deed, right.
Yeah.
The legal description of the property. If you can't get that, you get a survey, or they'll give that to you. And the language in a deed is pretty straightforward, you know, common language.
Yeah. And pardon me?
Then you need signatures.
You need signatures.
You need signatures that are notarized.
Bam. Yeah. There you go. You get one notarized signature, or two if there's two owners.
And then file it.
And then you file it.
Right.
The City Hall checked. Is Philadelphia's City Hall, the Recorder of Deeds office, a special office down in Philly,
right.
Do they check to make sure that anything is legit?
No.
Yeah.
Do they check the signatures and everything? No.
Yeah.
No.
So if you found a property that somebody hadn't been going into and out of very often,
right.
And you pulled the deed on that property, and anybody can pull the deed on anybody else's property,
right.
All you need is an address. If I took your address, you being the person who's listening to me on the other end of the radio right now, that's right, you. If I took your address and went to City Hall and pulled your deed, I'd have a description of your property, and I'd know who the current owner is. I prepare my own deed, transferring the property from the current owner to me, and type the deed up exactly otherwise how it is at City Hall, and I spend whatever it is, $50, $75, $100, I don't know what they're up to nowadays, $200. Spend $200 over in City Hall. I file that deed. I am now the legal owner of that property.
Technically, yes.
Boom. Done. And that's happening. In fact, we have a story that I want to share with you in a minute. But there are so many callers that we have to get some off the line. Let's take line three. Cliff from Jersey has a comment about guns. Go ahead, Cliff. What's up?
How you doing today?
Good, thanks.
All right. I'm calling about the whole thing about, you know, in Connecticut. I'm not a member of the NRA or anything like that, but I'm licensed in Philadelphia, in TA as a 235 agent to carry on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe with training, we should have people. I think we've had enough school shootings. I think they should have security guards or police and metal detectors in all schools at this point.
Yeah, ow.
You know,
I mean, that is.
I don't like that.
Yeah, that is like, you know, Russia or so. I mean, that is like the.
It's not solving the problem. It's just saying now we can detect people who have the guns. They become prisons, the schools. You're reacting to the problem rather than trying to solve the problem.
But I know a lot of people are saying, oh, the teachers should have guns and everything like
saying
that. But no, I'm saying other people are. I believe we should have the right to protect ourselves, because if you take guns away from us, the criminals are still going to have them.
Well, listen, I've heard that. I've heard that argument, and maybe there's some validity to that argument. And I'm not suggesting that we should abolish the right to own guns.
Right.
I don't want folks getting that all twisted up. But an AK-47.
Well, not only that, this kid would not have had this. This kid wasn't a criminal. This kid would not have had the gun if it would have been restricted in a way that a normal person and a normal family couldn't just go and buy a gun, because the mother bought the guns.
Understandable.
Right.
But I'm sorry that she is also one that was murdered by him, but was she responsible and have her guns under lock and key?
Well,
I have weapons in my house, and when I'm not at home, my keys are with me, but the guns are locked up.
Right. Right. You're right. There is an element of responsibility, personal responsibility, of course. Okay. But it seems like you said, there seems to be an increase in this rampant shooting, and now especially in schools and things like that. How do you address that? Training and metal detectors aren't going to solve like the issue that happened in Sandy Hook. The kid still had a gun. So someone would have been killed and shot. It just would have been how it would have gone down had the metal detector detected them. And now
it's been limited.
Yeah, well, it still would have been a crazy situation.
So what are you saying, Cliff? Let's get to the bottom line here. You're saying that you're in favor of no restrictions on gun ownership?
No, I'm not saying no restrictions.
All right,
like
all
said,
right. Then,
I believe we should have training.
Okay.
The people that are going to have them, they should be trained properly.
I totally agree with that.
Training is a good thing. I got no problem with
totally
that. And some
that.
Limitations on gun ownership. I think we're on the same page, Cliff. Thanks for calling from New Jersey.
Yeah, that's definitely, I agree. In order to even get one, you need training.
Training, yes. And but some limitation. I mean,
well, right,
we have
right.
to begin to limit the
assault
right. weapons.
Yeah. Yeah, the crazy weapons that have no purpose whatsoever but mass killing of people.
All right, let's talk to Mark Schuler from Schuler, maybe it is Schuler, line four. Mark, are you here? Are you with us, Mark?
Yes, how you doing?
All right, brother, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm hoping you can help me out.
All right, give it up.
Okay, what it is, I had an individual out that works on cars. I dropped off my car for him to work on,
yep.
and he had it in his possession, had the keys to it. When he called me and told me it was ready to be picked up, I came there to pick it up, and it had been stolen. He doesn't have, like, a protected area to put his vehicles once he's worked on them, and he just told me it was gone. So I wanted to know if I was able to take him to court for suing for that, but it's been 4 years since it's happened.
Aye.
What is it? What's it? 4 years today.
Everybody's waiting 4 years to call Court Radio. All right, listen. Here it is. For folks, when you give your car up to a body shop or to a mechanics shop, they're bailors, okay? That's the legal term. Their job is to protect your property while they have it in their custody and control. And if they don't protect it, you can sue them to collect your money. Okay, that's the good news. The bad news for Mark is that there's a statute of limitations, and he, if it's been more than 4 years, has exceeded the statute of limitations. Sorry, Mark, but you're probably out of time. Had you gotten on this right away, I think the answer is you could have sued and collected.
Definitely.
All right. See you, Mark.
Okay,
have a great
you.
Sunday. Oh, man. 215-263-1003. We're going to come back. We're going to hit you with our hot button topic, which we've been sort of skirting around. We're going to be joined in the studio by our special guest, Sandy Fox Jones, President-elect, President Supreme of the Abstract Company. She actually provides this title insurance that David was talking about to protect you from thieves. We're going to get to Sandy. We're going to talk about how people steal property and what Sandy's insurance does to help you. We're going to get it all out in another 120 seconds. We'll be right back after these announcements.
Your child broke a window, but you taught them to be responsible for their mistakes. They do the right thing. Doing the right thing isn't what insurance companies do best. I'm Dean Weitzman of My Philly Lawyer. Call us at 215-227-2727. Doing the right thing means more than saying I'm sorry. It means paying for the injuries your mistake has caused by making insurance companies pay. Call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weissman.
Yo. Okay. Explosion.
You have to wait.
Yeah, we're gonna keep this. We're gonna keep this going for 2013.
there it is.
Yeah, but I think we're gonna have to take a few bars out of that.
a few seconds.
Yeah,
it's a long...
that's Kyle's job on the long break. We're on holiday. 215-263-1003. So, folks, what we're talking about is getting your house stolen out from under you while you're still the rightful owner. The question is, can you get any protection from that kind of activity? This is how it happens. Okay, we're gonna recap our first half hour. We talked about the Sandy Hook massacre and gun control. We think that guns are too prevalent in America. There needs to be some control on them. We think the NRA provides blood money, that their puppets in Washington that take that money should be spanked. And one of the easiest and best ways to do it is to have a march on Washington. And we advocate that march. Maybe in, you know, we can get out there right after the first of
an
the year.
An armed march. Oh, no, I mean, you know.
Yeah. How about, yeah, no, not an armed march. A peaceful march.
Yes.
Demonstrating our disdain for the politicians who continue to refuse to put some checks and balances on gun control. The second thing we're talking about, and the thing that happened locally in a story that we read recently, is the theft of houses. There was a fellow who passed away in 1978 at the age of 64. He had come to Philadelphia from Georgia, fleeing from Jim Crow, Georgia, at the time when the Jim Crow laws were prevalent. And so he came here, you know, a long, long time ago in the 30s. And he made a life here with his family, bought a house and, you know, raised kids and then passed away in 78. Well, some 20 some years later, that house was never transferred from his name into his children's name, but it was transferred out of his name and into a thieves' name. And it was put into the name of actually a Philadelphia police officer, believe it or not. Her name is Elaine Thomas. And in fact, it wasn't only his house that was put in Ms. Thomas's name. It was a half a dozen other houses. They just kept putting houses in her name. Now, the district attorney did not bring charges against this officer Thomas. There's some pending AID charges. We don't know how that's going to turn out. It hasn't been proven yet that she's a conspirator in this. She may be just another duped individual. Duped six times, though, but we'll see. That's yet to be seen. But here's the issue. She didn't get this. Mr. May didn't come back from the grave 20-some years later and sign off on a deed. It was fraudulently conveyed. Somebody got the deed, prepared a new one from May to her, and signed May's name and went down to City Hall and registered that deed. And poof, the May heirs, the heirs to his estate, lost their property. And that's happening all over Philadelphia all the time. Now, ultimately, if I, as an innocent buyer, go to buy the May property, okay, and I buy it from Thomas, the officer whose name the property was put in, and I then go move into the property, and the May children find out, and they come knocking on my door, Okay, now I paid good money to Officer Thomas to buy this house from her, thinking that she had legitimate title to the property. How, and now the May kids, they bring an action to quiet title. That's what it's called, folks. When you want to get back your property, you need to file an action to quiet title. It's a noisy title. You want to quiet it. So how do we do that? We file an action in City Hall and we sue the owner of the property, me, unbeknownst to me. I didn't own it legitimately. And eventually, after much to do, the May children will get their property back. Now, I lost my money. I gave it to Officer Thomas, who never really owned it in the first place. Ay, ay, ay. What happens to me? Do I lose my money? Well, we're going to find that out. I'm joined in the studio by Sandy Fox Jones. That's Fox with two X's. Yes. I always wonder how you get two X's on a fox. Hi, Sandy.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Sandy, you're the owner and president of The Abstract Company. What is The Abstract Company? And I know that you've been in business for over 25 years. What is it you do?
We search titles. We search titles and we issue title insurance. And before we will issue, especially in Philadelphia, before we will issue a commitment, we actually look at the chain of title, we look at the deeds, we look at the signatures, and if they look suspicious, we check the notaries, and we have gone back to people and said, we can't touch this because we know that there has been a forgery in the chain of title.
And if you issue title insurance, okay, what is that and how does it protect me? Why do I need to buy that when I'm buying a property?
Well, first of all, if you're buying it to live in it as your primary residence and you're a little bit nervous for whatever reason, or not nervous, but you want to be a little more conservative, you can buy an Eagle policy, which actually protects you against fraud going forward. But many people feel that they don't need title insurance if they're buying a house for, say, $20,000 or $30,000, and they find out that they're going to have to spend $500 or $600.
Yeah, this isn't real expensive insurance. It's not like you're buying car insurance every year. You don't have to. How often do you have to give you money?
Once. At the time of purchase.
That's it. One time. And you have that title insurance for how long?
The lifetime of your ownership.
So,
and if you die, which you don't want to do yet, it passes on. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I agree with you.
Thank you.
It passes on to your heirs.
Okay.
And so they don't have to buy a new policy.
Okay. So you buy this policy one time when you buy the house. It's $500 or $600 for a $30,000 property, and you never have to buy it again. And it protects you from bad title.
Well, what does it do? Yeah. What does it do?
Well, it protects you basically from everything that has not been disclosed. Now, and we won't touch anything where we see that there was, where taxes were not paid.
Right.
Those are the things that the thieves see.
Well, what about Dean's scenario? Let's say you didn't uncover the fraudulent transfer several years ago. You issue the title insurance, or someone issues title insurance. Can the buyer in that scenario, when the real owner comes back and says, hey, I'm the one who owns this property, you shouldn't have paid that person, they didn't really own it. It all gets uncovered. Does the insurance give that buyer the money back?
Yes, when you suffer a loss, if you have the title insurance.
Right.
But if the guy before you had title insurance and he says to you, you don't need title insurance because I had title insurance.
Right.
You're not protected. And how do you know? You have to be sure that, in fact, he has a valid policy because he could have a fraudulent policy.
Right.
Yeah. So
fraud is rampant in all aspects, even the policy, right?
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting, and we're going to come back to this, we're going to take some calls, but you mentioned something about an Eagle policy.
Yeah.
Is this something relatively new?
Yeah, it is within, I would say, the last five or so.
Yeah, I never
years.
Heard of that. That's interesting.
So, well, if you're the guy who's currently your house to put your key in the door and the door is locked because somebody got in and changed the title to your house, That happened while you owned the house. It isn't a prior defect in title. It's something that happened currently, and an ordinary title insurance policy wouldn't cover that.
No. Okay,
I'm going to do this again. I own a home. I own it legitimately. Title is legitimate. Okay, but while I'm owning it, somebody transfers it negligently or fraudulently out of my name and into somebody else's name. Does my title insurance policy help me with that?
Not an ordinary title policy, because that only covered you from date of purchase backward.
Right, but the Eagle is the one.
The Eagle would cover you.
Interesting.
Okay, and so if I need to now file an action to quiet title and spend all that money and hire a lawyer, that policy is going to pay those expenses.
The Eagle will.
The Eagle will.
Yeah, yes. The Eagle policy.
Wow.
That's great.
All right, listen.
Is it expensive?
If it's your primary residence. It's about 10% more than the regular.
Okay. Still not bad. Outrageous.
No. 215-263-1003. All right, let's talk to Nancy. Yo, Nancy, welcome to Court Radio. You've got a comment on the Sandy Hook massacre.
Yeah. Is it regarding about the guy who called and say about metal detectors, police officers at school?
Yes.
I think it's not about that. We can see the guy in the movie theater, like, he has the jacket bulletproof. Or the guy at school, he has the stuff, like, we have already metal detectors at school. In Florida, years ago, they tried the clear book bags. I think it's about the gun control. Why we need a rifle? We don't live in Iraq. We don't live in someone else. We don't need a rifle in the house.
Right.
You can go to a website, like one of the guns that this guy has, they put the name on the internet, and I check online, and I can go to the website, and I can buy a rifle. You don't need a rifle. Like,
here's the question, Nancy. You're absolutely correct. You're in agreement with us. I love it. Now, will you go to Washington and march on Washington and tell the politicians who are taking this blood money no more? And you want gun control? Would you do that?
Yeah.
All right.
We need to do that. We need to tell them.
Absolutely. And it starts, Nancy, it starts with you and it starts with me. We have to be willing to get out of our easy chair and schlep down to Washington for a march on Washington and tell these folks no more guns. Nancy, thanks for calling Court Radio. God bless and have a great Sunday.
You too.
All right. That's it. You know, I mean, it's enough. We all have to take ownership of this problem and be willing to go to Washington. Folks, if you want to go to Washington, write me at courtradio.com and I'm going to join you on the bus on the trip down. We have to get a million people together and march on Washington and tell these knuckleheads enough is enough. Let's talk to Charles Adams from Coatesville. Yo, Charles, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, hello.
Hey.
I have a question. I bought a 2001 Ford F-150 from a buy here, play here, pay here place. And the car, I had it for 2 years, and it's been breaking down consistently, like every 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm just done with it. It's broke down now, sitting in front of my house. I just want to know, if I take it back and drop it off, will I have to pay or be responsible for anything?
Well, yes. You've had it for 2 years. Have you brought it back there every 2 weeks to get fixed?
No, I had somebody else fix it. I spent the money out of my pocket.
For 2 years?
Yes.
I don't think there's a lemon law that's going to cover that.
No, you know, we've been...
How old's this vehicle?
It's a 2001 Ford F-150.
It's an 11-year-old car.
We've been fraught today with people who've waited too long to exercise their rights. You know, it seems to be the theme today.
Yes.
You know, I would say after about 4 months of taking it back every 2 weeks somewhere to get something fixed... You should have gone back to where you bought it.
David's got that same problem. He's got a Toyota. Yeah, right. He's got a Toyota that's been in the shop for over a month.
Right.
He asked me if he could retain me to sue Toyota.
I did.
We're still negotiating the terms of that contract. But unfortunately, 2 years on a 11-year-old car and you're probably done. But thanks for calling Court Radio and have a great day in Coatesville. All right. 215-263-1003. Has your house been stolen? stolen? Do you have title insurance? Will it's hard to steal
your
a house.
Been, yeah, it doesn't happen often. But you know, I'm looking at this Eagle policy.
Yeah.
And I for the life of me can't understand why everybody shouldn't get one of these with a, you know, I guess I agree with you. If you're buying a $20,000 property for investment purposes, but even that, you're going to fix up, you know.
Yeah, but an Eagle won't.
It has to be your primary residence. Yeah. Okay, so I don't know why anyone wouldn't get this. Because it's going to cover you for the life of, and even after you pass away.
Yeah.
It's crazy not to get this. Because then what you're talking about, Dean, everything you're talking about can't happen. Or it can happen, but it won't affect you as the homeowner because you have insurance.
All right, let's talk to Tanya from line two. Good morning, Tanya, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right, we're doing all right. How about you?
Good.
What do you got to say? Yeah?
I want to make a comment on you saying get out there and march and do those things, but we've marched. We started organizations, Mothers in Charge, Women of Strength, women that have lost children to violence. I've never lost a child personally. I lost a cousin, and that helped me get involved with different organizations. But I don't remember what year it was, but it was the year that the Brady Bill campaign and assault weapons and all that was being passed, and we were out there marching in D.C. that day. And there were a lot of people out there trying to make the difference in gun laws and change gun laws. But the assault weapons ban passed that day that we were out there marching. On the news, they never even mentioned it, that Smarty Jones, the horse, was running that year. And Smarty Jones, a horse, got more coverage than the assault weapons ban. So people do step out. We've even marched in Harrisburg. People do step out. But I'm sure there's more people involved that have lost people to gun violence than there's more people than the NRA. It's the NRA that's not helping make them change these laws. They're scared they're going to lose their rifles. And look at what's happening because they won't change the gun laws. People are dying every day.
Yeah, but you know what? Change occurs when it's not enough just to get out. I think getting out is very important. But there's
that's
also
true.
One other very important aspect, voting. Okay, because the gun laws are put in by people who legislate. Those legislators are put in by the voters. So everyone talks a great game, but then when they go and vote, they vote for these nudniks who are totally in favor of guns. And if you don't vote for those people, or you bring it up as an issue and say we won't vote for you unless you oppose put gun restrictions in or support that, then I think there's going to be a change. You have to hit these people in their proverbial pocketbooks as far as, you know, you won't have a career as a politician unless you do this. That's how you effectuate the change. That starts with marching, but then you have to go further than that.
Yeah, and I also think, though, that at some point you get to a critical mass.
Right.
So it's like all those things, it isn't, Tanya, like you wasted your energy. I think those things, those historic things, build and build and build until you get to a critical mass where the scale tips in your favor. I think we're there. I think we just need that one more push. And I do think that a march on Washington and then calling out these politicians, as David said, the ones who take the blood money year in and year out from the NRA, those are the ones we need to identify, and we need to say no more. You take another nickel, you're never getting my vote.
I hate to say it, but now that 26, or I think it was 26 children, elementary, like this one really hit home for people. This one's could be the one that makes the change, because it's children, young children.
Young, kindergarten kids.
6 years old, I think.
215-263-1003. Tanya, thanks for giving us a call, Court Radio, and thanks for being involved in this issue. Let's talk to Shirley from Southwest Philly. Good morning, Shirley, and welcome to Court Radio. Oh, Shirley.
Doo-doo. Hello.
Oh, there you are, dear. Kyle had your mic down. I'm sorry. How are you? Welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, I'm good.
What's your question, dear?
You know what? I'm calling the reference. I have a union question, right?
Yep.
I've been a union member for a very, very long time, like 30 years. And we have somebody that's running against our local president. And we have a meeting on the 20th, right? And it seemed like they passed on a flyer to the members within my area that's misrepresenting our locals, saying that it's going to be a representative speaking there and stuff like that. And none of the executive boards have admitted speaking at this meeting. And I want to know why they're saying that one of the representatives is going to speak at this meeting.
Jeez.
If we could answer that question, yeah, we'd be clairvoyant.
But you know what? It's starting. It starts to edge on to an area that David specializes in.
Oh, thanks. What? Because I'm pro-union?
Well, you are pro-union, but there's something about the sunshine laws, and I know you know a little bit about the sunshine laws.
Yeah, yeah.
Because,
well,
you know, you deal with a community that tries to hide stuff up there.
Right. I certainly do.
But see that?
Well, the sunshine laws are just law. You know, every type of meeting. But that doesn't really include unions so much, Dean, because they're not public. You know, it would be a community meeting or something. It has to be open to the public. But I'm not sure I understand the issue here, because couldn't you just go to every union leader in your union and find out if they say we haven't spoken at this? I mean, I guess what you're saying is someone's issuing a flyer saying that so-and-so spoke at this particular meeting when they really didn't.
No, they said that they're going to speak at the meeting, and the union representative said that they are not speaking at the meeting.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to find out who is this representative speaking at this meeting, because it's none of them. Because I spoke to all the executive board members.
Well, what's going to stop you from going to the meeting seeing firsthand who's speaking? And if they've been lying about it, well, wouldn't that make a great, you know, wouldn't it be great to be able to use that in your, you know, future campaign or election, that what you're surrounded by union leaders who are either not involved or they're lying? You know, I mean, it's almost up to your benefit. But surely, I don't think it's any other, you know, I think you have to wait for the meeting to happen to see what transpires.
Who goes there, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling Court Radio. Have a great Sunday, Shirley.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's talk to Hassan from Philly about a deed question. Yo, Hassan, what's happening?
Good morning. Purchased a property about 15 years ago with the option to buy. The landlord died about 2 years later. She has no estate, no children, no family. So we were able to continue to pay the loan. She had got a home improvement loan on it. We were given the option to continue that loan and stay in the property. Now we're almost finished, and the mortgage company has changed hands from one bank to another. And this bank that has it now is saying that the deed is in a trust, meaning, or from my understanding, that whoever's been paying the mortgage all the time at this time gets to keep the property, or the title gets transferred over. My question is, I live in Pennsylvania. They don't do that. But where the bank is stationed in South Dakota or Texas, one or the other, I think it's Texas, they do deeds of trust. Will I need a lawyer once this is all done? And they're saying that they'll just send the deed to Philadelphia and tell them that the title to Philadelphia, and that Ms. Hassan has been paying it, and they can put the deed in our name. Will I need a lawyer from Philadelphia to argue this point, or will it just go through?
What do you think, Sandy?
You need a lawyer.
Okay.
And you need title insurance.
Exactly.
You don't
this
have
is perfect.
Title insurance.
Right.
There is a whole there are many things that have to be done. You can't just put a deed in your name.
This is the perfect example of you're now going to get a deed transferred to you. You should do exactly what we're talking about. Get title insurance. Let the title company check the whole history of the deed, make sure everything's okay before you.
Hey,
the bad thing is you spend a lot of money, you know, over the years. So hopefully,
right,
it's going to go through.
Yeah, you answered your own question, but you know, it's good that you called us. You need a lawyer.
Yes.
You need title insurance. You need to protect yourself. You made a big investment in this property.
Yeah.
Don't drop the ball at the 1 yard line like the Eagles are wont to do.
I don't
okay?
think a lawyer won't be that expensive either. The whole process will not be incredibly expensive.
We have a lawyer at my Philly lawyer who does this kind of stuff every day. His name is Saul. Okay, so you just give us a call and you will ask for Saul, and he'll hook you up. 215-227-2727. I'll get you to the offices of My Philly Lawyer. 215-227-2727. Even Kyle's used Saul. Everybody's you know Kyle. Kyle's the guy who he works his magic with his fingers, and he makes sure that your voice is heard.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care, dear.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I got a shout out, David, for Amy Marai, one of the hot hot working paralegals at My Philly Lawyer.
Well, yeah, and you shout. Why is the shout out? You
well, she's over at the gym right now, working out and building a six pack and listening to Court Radio.
Is that how you pronounce it? I thought it was Mari. It's Mari.
Mari.
Oh, okay. I learned something today.
Hard I. Mari.
Okay.
Amy Mari.
All right, Amy, go for it.
Yeah.
I hope you're sweating it.
All right, we're.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a lot of sweat,
yeah,
Kyle.
Really.
We're joined by Sandy Fox Jones, president of the Abstract Company, and Sandy provides insurance for purchasers of property. Cheap insurance, inexpensive.
How do people get a hold of you? You might as well.
They have to call us first, and our number is 215-545-1180.
545-1180.
You have a web.
We have a website.
TheAbstractCo.com.
There you go.
TheAbstractCo.com.
If you're going to buy a property, you want to talk to Sandy, and she'll hook you up with title insurance so that you're protected from the thieving that's been going on, you know? And if you really want to get protected and it's your primary residence, you can ask for the Eagle policy.
That's something I wish I was around when I bought my property.
Yeah, yeah. I wish it was, too.
Yeah, I would definitely have done that,
because right now somebody's transferring
my property.
That
I'm gonna
property.
Go home and
right.
It's gonna
the
be
locks
empty.
Will be changed. That'll actually be Cindy's doing. 215-263-1003 gets you into the studio, and we are almost out of time, folks. Unfortunately, I know how the time flies. You're having so much fun listening to Court Radio. The question is, what's going to happen to this officer in Philadelphia?
Are you aware of this
had
case?
All yeah. these you properties. Are. This is the hottest case.
Can
in,
you shed
in...
some light?
Well, Sam? The only thing that I'm aware of is that I believe the police have been aware for a while and have been investigating it.
The officer, or you mean the whole?
Well,
process.
That one, and we've actually, you can go to the DA. If you know that your property has been stolen, I believe there's a special area in the DA's office, and you can report it. But there have been so many
right.
that I don't know that they're properly staffed to take care of it. I've told people that the dead are not the only ones who rise from the grave. A forged signature comes back,
right?
And hocus pocus, there you are. Somebody else has the property.
Hocus pocus.
Wow.
I haven't heard hocus pocus in quite some time.
And I think it is the problem really in Philadelphia mostly because of our system. It's so easy to just record it, or what's the issue? Philadelphia?
Here's the thing. The recorder says that a deed only has to be notarized. It has to be signed. It has to be notarized. So that's why you can go into the recorder's office.
It's, you know what? It's amazing how fast your property can be taken from you, and there's really only one protection, and that's title insurance. Give Sandy Fox a call, 215-263-1003. Unfortunately, folks, we'd love to go on into the next hour, but there's a man who...
You're forced to listen to.
Yeah, you're... He's in the weeds. His name is E. Stephen Collins, and Philly Speaks coming up right after these important announcements. Your loved one is getting medical care and someone makes a tragic mistake. Now they'll need round-the-clock care or worse, and you're left alone. I'm Dean Weitzman of My Philly Lawyer. Call us at 215-227-2727. For more than 30 years, My Philly Lawyer has been holding hospitals and insurance companies accountable for medical mistakes. Call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident? With your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.